Now again, we're looking at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Title of my message is today, They Heard, They Received, They Examined, and They Believed the Gospel. I pray the Lord to do that for us today. May we hear the word of truth. May we receive it, not as a word of men, but as a word of God. May we examine the word, by the word. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. Our Lord said, they are they which testify of me. Hear the word, receive the word, examine the word. Prove all things. I don't mind if you take what I say and compare it with the scripture. To see if I'm telling you the truth. See if what I say lines up with the body of Scripture, with the message of the Word of God. Examine it, receive it, hear it. And oh, may God give us grace to believe Him. Oh, how precious is saving faith. We know it's a gift of God. But we know that this gift of God, this faith that God sovereignly gives, He gives it through the means He's ordained. What is that? The preaching of the gospel. I tell you what, my friend, if you want to have faith, saving faith, faith that looks to Christ, bury yourself in this word of truth, because it'll lead you to one person. It'll lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I guarantee you that. You study this word and you'll come to one conclusion. That in salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is not something. Everything. Christ is all and in all. He's all my acceptance before God. Every bit of it. He is all my righteousness before God. Every bit of it. He is all my redemption. That is all my deliverance before God. He's every bit of it. He is my Redeemer, my Savior, my Lord. How about you? God given you faith to believe Him and trust in Him. Now we see in our story here how God is pleased to call out His people. God is pleased to call out His elect. And we see the Apostle Paul going here, going there. He had that special vision, remember, about going into Macedonia, into that chief city of Macedonia, Philippi. And he went there and he preached the gospel there in Philippi. And you remember what happened? He met with some women down by the creek side. And he preached the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And God opened the heart of a woman named Lydia and saved her. By His marvelous grace. There was another man in Philippi. You see, God uses means He has ordained to cross the path of His elect and to call them out with the preaching of the truth. Paul, you know the story there in Philippi. He got in trouble because he stood firm for the gospel. He exposed idolatry, didn't he? He stood firm for the gospel and he ended up being beaten with many lashes, Paul and Silas, beaten not according to Jewish law, which was 39 stripes, but he was beaten under Roman law. And under Roman law, it was unmerciful. If the executioner who was dealing out the punishment was so disposed, he could beat you to death. And Paul was lashed and put in jail for the gospel. You know who was there? One of God's elect, the jailer. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he preached unto him the word of the Lord, and God saved that jailer. You think about this now, a pagan, hard-hearted, in his natural state, hardened in sin, dead in sin, and God crossed his path with God's servant, with God's gospel, and he heard that message, and God saved him. You know what happened? God prepared the ground And he put that seed in the good ground that was plowed by God, and it brought forth fruit. Faith. He believed God. I desire that for you. Oh, to believe God concerning this gospel that the power of God unto salvation. Well, we know what happened in Philippi. He was eventually asked to leave town. And he went to another neighboring town of Thessalonica. You see, this is God's method, and he's showing us and explaining to us how all this works. It's by his marvelous providence and by his grace. So as he leaves Philippi, he comes to Thessalonica. And what happens there? He goes among the assembly of a mixed crowd of Jews and Gentiles. And he declares, it says there in verses 2 and 3 of Acts 17, opening and alleging, preaching and setting forth and showing by the Scriptures that there's only one substitute. There's only one way of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's Savior. Salvation in no other. And you know what happened? It says there in verse 4, and some of them believed. You see what happened? God was preparing the ground. God was plowing the heart. And when the sower came along with the seed, and he started spreading the seed, some of it fell in good ground, prepared ground. And it brought forth fruit unto God, glorifying God. Now, we see again the Apostle Paul forced out of Thessalonica. Why is all this happening? You see, God even uses the ungodly and the reprobate and the persecution of ungodly men to the furtherance of the gospel. You see, even the wicked deeds of men will honor God some way or another. They did what those old Romans and Jews, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, but they did what God determined before to be done. You see, everything is ordered of God. Everything is working to one glorious end, to the salvation of God the elect and to His glory. So as he's forced out of Thessalonica, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. They couldn't even leave town during the day. They had to wait till the cover of night and to leave town. And they came to Berea. Now, why did he go to Berea? Why didn't he go to one of these other cities he's passed through, Apollonia or Amphipolis? Why did he go to Berea? You see, the steps of a good man are ordered of God. Why are you here today, my friend? Why am I here? I look back over my life, oh, what a mess. What a mess. But I tell you what, God was ordering all things for one glorious purpose, to cross my path with the gospel and to teach me His truth. And that's why Paul came to Berea and went again into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 10. And these, it says in verse 11, these were more noble. That is, they were honorable people. They were serious. They were serious about their method of worship. They were serious about their religion. They were noble. They were honorable, more so than those unbelieving Jews in Thessalonica. They received the word. They heard Paul. And they received the message with readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And you know what happened? It says there are many of them believe God. Now, the Apostle Paul knew this. He knew he was God's messenger. He knew that, didn't he? He knew he had the message given of God. He knew he was sent to preach the gospel. He calls himself, hold your place there and find 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he called himself the ambassador for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this can be said of all of his servants, sent of God, to preach God's gospel. Paul knew his message. He knew God's method, and he knew that he had to deliver this message as God's ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 18, and hath given to us this ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. How can this sinner be reconciled unto God? Only through Christ. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus, to wit, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That doesn't mean all men without exception. It's talking here about his elect, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Would you listen to an ambassador of Christ? Oh, what a privilege God has given his people to send his ambassador with his message, his gospel. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did speak to you by us. Well, that's pretty important that you ought to listen. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As my pastor used to say, lay down your shotgun. Lay down your rebellion before God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. That is, God made him sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Would you hear that message of substitution? Satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought about this. Do you suppose, after all the hardship that Paul and Silas and Barnabas had endured for the message of the gospel, do you suppose that Paul and Silas ever had this conversation? Well, Silas, you think we ought to just maybe tone it down just a little bit? Silas, to Paul, maybe we ought not try to offend those. Maybe I'll just kind of compromise, get along with those old Jews. Do you reckon they ever entertained such a notion? You know they did. Let's trim it or tone it down? No, God forbid. God forbid. You see, my friend, to remove the offense of the cross, to remove the offense of the gospel, it's remove its power. That's right. You preach a gospel that's suitable and palatable to the fallen, sinful, depraved flesh, and you preached another message. It's not the gospel of God. Because the gospel of God is offensive to the natural man. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it and would hear it and receive it. Now, I want to spend some time here on verse 11. These more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now these Jews here in Berea, these noble, and they're called noble Bereans. He gives some good description of these people here. They received the word with a willing mind, readiness. There is a willing mind, an open mind. They searched the scriptures daily whether Paul was telling them the truth. These in Berea, they weren't like the unbelieving Jews who were ready to fly off the handle, who were so prejudiced and set in their ways, trusting the tradition and ceremonies of Judaism, that they would not hear Paul. These people here gave Paul a hearing as he declared the word of truth, not as these unbelievers. Turn back to Acts chapter 13. They were sincere and reverent in their worship, these in Berea. They had a high opinion of God's word. They had a noble attitude. You see, God was preparing the ground for the messenger and the seed. Their minds and hearts were not hardened against the scriptures. by tradition and ceremony of men. Their minds were open to what Paul said from the Word. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You see, these in Berea weren't like that. They were open to the Word of God and open to the message of God's servant. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, verse 46 of Acts 13, said it was necessary that the Word of God should have first be spoken unto you, but seeing that you put it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So back to Acts 17. Now we see four things said of these noble Bereans. First of all, they had a reverence, a sincere reverence for the Word of God. They had a high opinion of thus saith the Lord. May that be said of all of us. I'm always quite encouraged when I talk to anyone and they have a reverence for the Word of God. They believe that this is God's inspired book and His Word. Now, I can talk with a person like that. And I can take the Word of God and take this very Scripture and preach unto them Christ. May God give us that, like these noble Bereans, to have a high opinion of His Word and His truth. It says, secondly of them, it said that they received the Word. They received the Word with all readiness of mind, a willingness of mind. What was this owing to? It's not something by nature, it's something of God's grace. If you have a willingness and an openness of mind to hear God's truth, it's because God has made you so by His grace. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. Like those in the parable of the sower, the ground was being prepared by God to receive the Word of God. I tell you, I give you another example of that. Turn to Acts chapter 10. You remember the story of Cornelius, the Gentile, and how God prepared his heart to hear and meet God's servant and to hear God's Word? Acts chapter 10. When Peter came to the house of that Gentile Roman soldier, in Acts chapter 10, verse 33, notice his attitude here. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And Peter preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there was a readiness of mind. There was a preparation of God in the heart of Cornelius and his house. He heard the word of truth. He believed the word of truth. By God's grace. I tell you another example of this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There was a multitude in Thessalonica who heard Paul and who did believe the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn over there. It says of them who believed there in Thessalonica. This is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of truth, which you heard of us, they heard the truth, the word of truth, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They didn't just hear Paul and consider these the words of Paul, but the words of God. They received the word. Now, what did Paul preach? Look back at Acts 17, verse 13. Paul preached the word of God to them. You see that? The Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul. They received the word preached. And the word preached, Paul preached from the Scriptures, and Paul preached the written word, and in that message, he preached the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard that message, and they had a readiness of mind and a willingness of mind and an openness of mind to hear that word, hear that truth. And this is a work of God, my friend, this desire that God implants in the sinner's heart, and that's the preparing of the heart, and that's the work of God. Now, something else. Thirdly, it says of these people in Acts 17, verse 11, so they received the word. They had a reverence of the word. They heard the word. They received the word. They examined the word. You see that? And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They examined Paul's message by the standard of truth, and that's the scriptures. The gospel of God in Christ will bear the examination and the scrutiny of the scriptures. Examine what you hear by the standard of truth. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. They went home. They heard Paul with an open mind. They took down some notes and they went home, dusted off their book, and started searching the scriptures whether these things be so. Our Lord says this in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. The scriptures, if you make yourself a student of the word of God, the Lord God will bring you to one right conclusion, that in salvation it's by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine the scriptures. Those things preached that are contrary to the word of God, what are you to do? To reject them? But how do you know? How do you know if what I preach is contrary to the scriptures? If you don't examine the scriptures yourself. Examine what I say. Those things preached that are contrary to the word are to be rejected. Those things preached that agree with the scriptures are to be embraced. And they will be by the sheep of Christ. Someone said the constant searching of scripture is the best way to keep our minds from error. The searching of the scriptures. And this is what we need to do daily. Search the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures daily. Now, I know we're all busy, and I know all of you put a lot of hours and time in, but I tell you, if you can't find a daily time to set aside when you're driving or a quiet time in the morning to search the scriptures, you're too busy. You're just too busy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of the best study time that I had during my years of working on the road and driving many, many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles was driving up and down the road, studying the Word of God, listening to tapes, listening to gospel preaching, studying the Word of God daily. Now, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study the word. Meditate upon the word. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Go back to that statement. The constant searching of the scriptures is the best way to keep our mind from error. So search the scriptures, as these folks did here. And this is what all of us need to do. Daily. Make it a daily task of studying the scripture. Meditating upon the scripture. Now, turn back to Acts 17, look at verse 12. Now, don't overlook this verse right here. Therefore, verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Gentiles, and of the men, not a few. Now, that message was blessed. Therefore, many of them believed. Through the preaching of the gospel, God opened their heart. God opened their mind. Through the means that God has ordained, God, it pleased God through the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. And through the study of Scripture, the Lord gave them faith to believe Him. Now turn again and read this for you. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 13. You see, God has predestinated the end, but He's also predestinated the means to arrive at that end. And the means that God uses to call out His elect, to regenerate them, and to make them new creatures in Christ is the Word. The sower went forth to sow the Word, the seed. Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God sent them a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? Everybody who hears the gospel is not going to believe it, but I tell you, his elect will. So then, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by the message of Christ, the gospel, and this hearing, the Word of God. Many of them believed. Oh, how precious is God-given faith. Faith. Many of them believed. How precious is this? Well, let me show you this scripture. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Many of them believed. Oh, for you know, faith in the Scripture is called, there's not many things in the Word of God that are called precious. His precious blood, to you who believe He is precious. But you know, faith is called precious, precious faith. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, 1 John 5:10, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look down to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Believe the record that God gave of His Son. I pray the Lord will do that for us right now. Lord, give me faith to trust Christ for all of salvation. Well, the last part of this story goes this way. Turn back to Acts 17. God sent a gospel preacher who preached Christ and Him crucified, and many of them were given faith and life in Christ to believe. Now look at verse 13, 14, and 15. Now here's this rebellious crowd. When they heard in Thessalonica that Paul preached over in Berea, immediately Paul had to leave town again. These Jews came there to stir up the people again, and Paul had to leave by sea and they conducted him down to Athens. Many believed, but you know what? Many were offended. Many were offended. Persecution broke out again, forcing Paul to leave Berea. Now, two things here I know in conclusion. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message that the rebel will never find hope and comfort in, left to himself. Let me show you a scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message of Christ and Him crucified to the self-righteous, those who are going about to establish their own salvation, will never find hope, comfort, and peace in salvation in a crucified, risen Redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, that is the message of the cross, substitution, satisfaction, Christ dying for the sin of His people, to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power and wisdom of God. Now look down to verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom does not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, that's the most religious man, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, the wise man, the educated man, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. Many believed, many were offended. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will never be a message that the rebel, self-righteous, will find hope, comfort, and peace in, because it exposes them for what they are. Secondly, be sure of this. As we contend for the gospel and preach the gospel of God's sovereign saving grace in Christ Jesus and contend for the faith and continue in the faith, know this, persecution will come. Persecution will come. The apostle, as he sat in that Roman prison, writing back to the young preacher, he said this. Let's turn and read this. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. This is his last words to the young preacher. And he says this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said in verse 10, Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my patience. Now remember, he's in prison here. He's been sentenced to death. These are his last words to that young preacher, his dear brother in the faith. He said, persecution and affliction which came unto me in Antioch, we've studied that, Iconium, we've looked at that, Lystra, remember he was stoned at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they'll suffer persecution. Now, just mark it down. You take a stand for the gospel of God's grace among religious people today, and persecution will come. But I tell you what, be sure of this. As we continue to preach the gospel and contend for the faith and continue in the truth, persecution will come, but also this, prosperity. Prosperity will come. God will call out His elect through the preaching of the gospel. Now turn to one more scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God will call out His sheep with the word of truth. He said, My sheep will hear My voice. And that's what's happening through the book of Acts. And that's what God is showing us. Paul traveling from city to city, from house to house, preaching the same message, calling out His elect. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, he's writing back to those same people there in Thessalonica, who heard the gospel and believed it. He said, you were chosen of God. chosen from the beginning, chosen to salvation, loved of God through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the new birth. That's regeneration. And the fruit of that? Belief of the truth. That seed that was sown in the good ground, it brought forth fruit. Some hundredfold, 60, 30-fold, sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. Now look at verse 14. Here's the means whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, verse 15, stand fast. Hold the tradition. That word there is truth, which you've been taught, whether by word or by letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. That's our hope. It's a good hope by grace. Comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. So my friend, let us contend. Let us continue. Let's keep preaching the gospel here or wherever God sends us. Preach this message, and God will bless it to the salvation of His people. He will call them out with the gospel.